We are sorry about whatever that was.
That was terrible.
Well, if you like metal music, don't listen to that, because even that wasn't good metal.
Yeah. Hey, Slipknot called, and even they said it wasn't good.
Hey, my mom called. She didn't like it. But she didn't like most stuff.
Did she really call? Will you tell her I said hi?
Nope.
Okay. That's fair enough. So, did you see Modern Family last night, Riley?
Yes.
What did you think? Well, I'll just tell you the part that made me cry. When she gets up there, and, Phil had, was giving this presentation. It was really grandiose at the real estate convention, and then he fell and hurt his ankle, so he couldn't continue. So Haley gets up there and finished his set for him, and it was hilarious. And
do you feel like she is worth cry. Like the character? I'm not talking about the actress. The actress is probably a really nice girl, but the character, she seems worthless.
Haley's awesome. She's got a lot of punchlines and stuff.
Yeah, but she's doing nothing with her life.
Well, are you kidding? She has that fashion blog. She's influencing
people. Fashion blogs. That's a hobby, if that.
Well, she makes money.
Does she?
And she's gonna be a real estate agent, Riley. She's got it in her blood.
No, she doesn't. She'll end up being a trophy wife and getting divorced.
Hey, speaking of trophy wives, we're missing someone today.
Oh, yeah. So, I'll explain what happened. Me and Rachel were talking about card-based dueling systems, and she's more a fan of Yu-Gi-Oh! So is Cody, if I'm correct. And I'm more of a Magic the Gathering man.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Things got heated.
It
Things
did.
Were said. Let's just say both of us said every swear word we know.
Yep. And even some that I was unfamiliar with.
It did get physical.
One that started with a J?
Yeah.
That one was pretty bad.
She used the J word.
J-U?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say anymore.
This is a family-friendly station.
Oh, gotcha.
For now, there's a restraining order. She did hit me a little bit, and it might be dropped over after spring break. We'll see what happens.
Yep. So Rachel, the absentee Hilton, is not with us today.
No, but that's fine.
That's fine. It'll be nice to have a
guy time.
Guy time, at least for the first little bit here.
Yeah.
And maybe someone will come in and save us halfway through the show when they realize this is way too much testosterone for one show.
Okay. Well, hey, speaking of the show, should we get it started?
I think we should.
Okay, let me calculate my instruments.
You're listening to the Aggie Newsroom on Aggie Radio. Today's Thursday, the 6th of March in the year 2014. Scarlett Johansson, just so you know, is 29 years, 102 days old today. So happy 29, whatever that is, Scarlett Johansson. It's not a birthday, but it's something.
Like 29 and a third.
Yeah. And by the time this program ends, there will be 10 days and 6 hours before the next true Aggie night. I'm your host, Cody D.W. Scott, along with Riley McDirty Thompson, bringing you entertainment news and also running our board, and if I do say so, doing a lovely job, unless you can't hear me, in which case, Riley, tune me in a little bit more.
No, Riley.
Okay, we are on.
McDirty Thompson.
Let's see, on the show today, we're going to have tech news with our favorite cyborg, KevBot.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have... Half robot, half machine, no heart.
Yep. All Kevin. And then we'll have national news by Ashley Wadup. She'll be joining us in a few minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
About a half hour. And, we have the Ultimate Frisbee Club on.
Ooh.
So they'll be here too.
Is that a sport? We'll see.
We'll ask them. And I've got a pretty interesting quiz for the Ultimate Frisbee Club.
I say no.
You say Ultimate Frisbee is not a sport?
No, it's a hobby. We'll talk about that.
What about marching band?
Not a performance.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway, but we actually are going to start out with a song, and you know we've been trying to keep it more upbeat. So you know we are going to play this. It's called "The Devil and the
Beats." Oh, I love
the
this song.
By the Chemical Brothers from Hannah, a great movie. We'll talk about that later. Here we go.
A combination of sounds with a view to beauty of form and expression of emotion.
On that.
So we are back, yeah. and that was the movie Hannah.
Yeah, you really took my advice about not playing weird songs anymore on the show to heart, Riley.
Well, keep Logan weird. That's my...
That's your motto.
Yep.
Yeah, and mine happens to be, let's keep people listening to the show.
Yeah, they like weird stuff.
That's mostly the show that comes on after us, Weird Socks. Yeah. They play weird stuff, and they're good. People, they have a really good show. Yep. You should stay tuned after our show for Weird Socks.
I'm sure
hip-hop.
They will.
We have to do traffic and weather.
Mm-hmm.
So the traffic update for Logan is normal. Logan traffic never gets too bad. Probably a little crowded on Main Street. You might have to wait through a couple lights to go through 4th and Main. But other than that, traffic's good. Wouldn't you say we agree, traffic copter? Yeah, that's totally cool, yeah. All right, so that was that. And weather, it's wet. It's wet outside.
Okay. And what's the general aura of Logan right now?
Dark. Dark.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like Gotham dark?
Like, yes. Wow. Like Gotham dark.
Well, you know what, guys? I'm going to cheer it up with our next segment, Popcorn Culture News. Here we go. One second. I don't know what happened there.
There we are.
Slebs and gossip is the thing. You want it? We will say, hey, what's going on? Who's around town? Slebs gossip, you know, it's all here. Here we go. It's near. Not my best intro.
No, we definitely need to work out some
I'm not gonna lie to
scripted
the,
stuff for
to
those
the
intros.
Listeners, I have not slept in days, so.
Okay, that'll make for a great show. Yeah. I think we're off to a good start.
You know what?
The show is going great so far. Ashley, please, if you're out there, hurry up as
it's
soon as you can. Get into the studio and save this train wreck.
Still better than Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a dig
That's
there.
Saying nothing.
But guys, I'm in my element now. Hollywood news. Okay, Cody, what were we doing Sunday night?
Watching the Oscars.
You know it.
Oh, and we need to do a little Oscar recap, I think, right?
Yeah, I got it right here.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, so the Oscars, there was a few complaints. People said it went a little slow, and that Ellen was the sole redeeming factor of the whole night, you know? They also said that they feel that Gravity swept it too much. Now, Cody, you have not seen Gravity, have you?
No, I haven't.
Well, let's just say it's pretty good, but I don't know if it deserved everything.
It won all the sound and visual stuff. None of the actor, actress didn't win Best Picture, but...
No, that was actually won by 12 Years a Slave, which is good. There's a little controversy because I guess someone in the Academy said, yeah, I voted for it, but I didn't see it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the only ones I guess they have to actually see are the short films, because the Academy does a screening, but all the other ones, they don't check to see if they've seen them or not. People just vote for them.
And usually they're sent screeners. You know, people in Acting Guild and stuff are sent screeners. That's a really big perk. But there, you know, there's some good. They did have Bette Midler sing in a memoriam, but it just kind of felt like kind of hokey. They're like, oh, that's manipulative. And, you know, that's the when they show everyone who died.
She cried. Bette Midler cried.
Yeah.
At the end of her song. She was moved by her own performance and cried.
Yeah. I was like, come on, keep it together.
Yeah.
Additionally, Meryl Streep and Pharrell Williams were there, but I was a little bit sick of Meryl Streep. Now, Ellen was amazing.
Yeah, she did okay.
She did a whole pizza bit where she had a guy come.
An actual pizza delivery guy.
Mm-hmm. Although it was the owner, I guess.
Yeah, it would make sense. They go to a pizza place and they say... You know, we need someone. It's going to be the owner that steps up.
Yeah. He's like, no, there was a missing slot. I'm like, I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah.
He did get a tip, though. He got a $1,600 tip.
Yep, from all the celebrities. That was pretty good.
Well, they can afford it.
I just like how she kept it kind of casual. But I will say, I did have one problem with the Oscars, and that's that they need to just eliminate some of those categories. There was a good hour and a half where... I really didn't need to watch it all. The only awards being awarded were technical and sound.
Or make it more lively. There's just a lot of ways they could go. Additionally, but in the past, they talked about there's been like some more musical numbers and more celebrities. Kind of like a bigger production. Mm-hmm. This one was more low-key, and people did not like that. But we did talk about... what's his name? He's kind of awful... Oh, John Travolta.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see the appeal there, guys. I'm sorry. He's a poor man, John Stamos.
Who was there as well and starting to look scary. His age is finally catching up with John Stamos.
Well, he can't wear skinny pants anymore, and he still tries to. What was the name of the actress who he just slaughtered her name?
Idina Menzel. She's the voice actress that did...
I can't remember.
Adele Wazim. Yeah.
That's pretty bad. So someone went online and made a website where you can put your name in, and they will John Travoltaize it. They'll, you know, make it sound like he's saying it. So I put our names in. So you can call me Ricky Thompson.
Next up, singing Let It Go is Ricky Thompson.
And presenting after that will be Christy Scone.
That's me, Christy Scone.
I kind of like that. I think you should go by that. And then when Ashley gets her, we'll be calling her this the whole time. Abby Wazims.
Wazims.
You know, I think that... I mean, that's a fine name, Ashley Wadups. But I think Abby Wazims is better.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what's going on. Check that out. If you did not see the Oscars, just check out the highlights. It'll be 5 or 10 minutes.
It's yeah, so let's just review real quick. 12 Years a Slave took home
Best Picture.
Gravity won all the technical and sound and editing awards. Mm-hmm. And then Best Animated. Actor. Oh, animated film. Go ahead, Riley.
Frozen. And they also won Best Original Song.
For Let It Go.
Which, it was a pretty tough competition.
Yeah, there were a lot of good songs. And I like that they had performances of all of them.
Yeah, well, they're usually pretty good at that.
Yeah.
I remember one when Enchanted was nominated for 2 songs. Amy Adams had to perform twice, and then she won to... She did not win.
Yeah. Well, she split the votes. That's what happens when you've got two in the same category. But Matthew McConaughey won Best Actor for Dallas Buyers Club, as well as Jared Leto, the lead singer from 30 Seconds to Mars.
Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah. Who now, did you hear? He's like, yeah, I could act, but I'm going to go on tour with my band. We got a couple dates in Europe. And Hollywood's just like, Jared, you can write your ticket into any movie you want, and you're going to take a trip with your band who was big like 10 years ago?
Hey, you know what? I say more power to him.
I just think that he can always tour with his band.
You know what's sad? Now, I can't remember his name. It's very foreign. But he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor in Captain Phillips.
Oh, Barkhad Abdi.
I don't know how you remember that. But he is super poor, and he probably won't get work forever.
Yeah, he was a good actor.
But he's very typecast.
Yeah, he is. I mean, there's a couple things that he could probably do in movies, mostly villains.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was typecast.
Yeah.
I guess the story is him and his friends, who are all Somali refugees, went and just tried out for that movie when they had casting in Detroit, and all of them made it. So him and his three friends, who are also Somali refugees, are the bad guys in that movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're just like best buddies the whole time. Which, if you've seen the movie, I mean, their acting is spot on.
Well, they know what it's like to be Somalian, at least. You know yeah. That.
And then Cate Blanchett won Best Actress for Blue Jasmine.
Like Cate Blanchett. Ugh.
Did you see Blue Jasmine?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't.
I hear think Woody Allen is just an old guy who doesn't make good movies anymore and is a creep.
Okay.
Well, you know he's a pedophile, right?
Allegedly.
Yeah, he is.
Allegedly, Riley. We gotta cover ourselves here.
Here at Popcorn Culture, no, at Aggie Newsroom, we do not support Woody Allen. Is that okay?
and then newcomer Lupita Nyong'o took home Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, and
she's
good.
Kenyan. Yeah, really good. She's actually in that new Liam Neeson movie, the plane one, Nonstop.
Oh, that looks awful.
It's a small role, but she's in it, so.
I call that a bottle movie, because it's like a bottle episode, but the whole movie.
Is on a plane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like 12 Angry Men is a bottle movie.
Yep, and then her and Jared Leto are apparently dating.
What?
Or they were seen together on a date, and then in his acceptance speech, he called her his future ex-wife.
Oh, yeah. So. And Jared Leto, his acceptance speech was pretty phenomenal. He was just very concise, and he's like, I love my mom.
Yeah.
And she was there.
But, of course, he was upstaged by Matthew McConaughey.
Which we will be talking about later.
Oh, we will? Good.
Yeah.
All right.
But who cares about the Oscars? Because I have breaking news.
Oh.
Miley Cyrus slams Katy Perry after a dirty tongue remark, saying her ex-boyfriend's tongue is worse. Okay, so Miley is known for her famous twerking picture and sticking out her tongue in weird angles. Kind of a slut. Anyway. Okay. But she gets a lot of flack, but Katy Perry's like, oh, I wouldn't want to be near that tongue. I bet it's dirty. And Miley was like, nope. She said, your ex has a worse tongue, and he has been known to kiss anyone.
Her ex meaning?
Denver.
Who?
Mayor.
John Mayer, okay.
I meant John Denver. Also,
hey, you should sleep before our show next time, Riley.
They think it's Mayer, but they weren't sure. It could have been anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Miley, back off. We support Katy Perry here.
I don't know. I kind of side with Miley in this fight.
Really?
A little bit.
Okay, I think, nope, we're not going to get into this off mic, okay? and then finally, so you, living in Utah, probably most of our listeners are here, people always hear about, oh, how Hollywood is so bad and stuff, you know, but this new, there's a lot of religious movies coming out, especially this year. So the biggest one is Noah, and that has Emma Watson and Russell Crowe. It should be pretty good. Additionally, Matthew McConaughey, he thanked the Lord a lot in his speech, and he didn't shy away from it. And people say, oh, it's refreshing, but no, Hollywood loves religious movies, and actually most actors are religious more than other professions. Yeah. And actually even more Christian. So Son of God is released later this week. And then also Heaven is for Real, which that looks awful. It looks like someone brought a Hallmark card to life in the form of a movie.
Who's in that?
No one good. I think he's in 24.
No, it's not him.
It's like a worse version of him.
Okay.
Is it Keith? No.
Kiefer Sutherland is the guy you're thinking of, but it's not him.
Yeah, and that movie looks awful. It's like some little kid's like, I see angels. I'm like, ugh.
Oh, thank goodness. I think we're about to be saved.
Anyway, so that's what's going on for Hollywood Facts. We'll be coming up later. I'll be a little better well-rested, and we will be talking about that. But, yeah, Matthew McConaughey did a really good job. And should we have another song now, Cody?
Let's do another song.
Okay.
That was entertainment news.
Yeah.
Weather update. It's still wet outside.
And
we know because Ashley came into the studio and she is soaking.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. It's freezing. And because it's a bad day, we'll play that song. It's by Bare Naked Ladies from their album Snack Time.
I'm having a bad day. Nothing you can do or say to help me through this bad day. I think I'll just stay in my room. They didn't need to say that they didn't want to play. I could have guessed it anyway, and that's why I'm here in my room. Seems like I'm the only one who's not outside and having fun. I wish this day had never begun. I think I'll just stay in my room. Sometimes I wanna run and hide. Today I wanna stay inside. Tell my bike to take itself for a ride. I'm staying in today. See the toys lying on the floor. I don't want them anymore. I think I'll sell them back to the store or give them all away. Feels like I'm the only one who's not outside and having fun. I wish this day had never begun. I think I'll just stay in my room. I don't need hugs and I don't want food. I wanna stay here in this lonely mood. I don't care if people think I'm rude. I wish they would all go away. Dad comes in and tells me with a kick, everyone has days like this. Brought my dinner, said that I was missed. I think I'll be okay. I know I'm not the only one to stay inside and watch the fun. Thanks a lot, that helped a ton. Tomorrow's gonna be a better day.
And we're back, and we're joined with a new guest in the studio. It's Abby Wazim.
Abby Wazim.
Yeah, wow, did you hear the story?
So unique. No, I need to hear this.
So John Travolta does not know how to pronounce names.
I don't know if it's even that or if he's just crazy.
yeah, I don't know. Anyway, and so you can put your name into a software that is how John Travolta will do it. So
it all started at the Oscars when he mispronounced Idina Menzel from Frozen, her name, when he was introducing her.
Other instances, like where he's just butchered names.
How did he say Idina Menzel's name?
Adele Wazim.
Adele Wazim.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's exciting.
We put my name in. It's Ricky Thompson. That's not too bad.
No,
I get worse.
That sounds...
I call people on the phone for a living, and a lot of people think it's Wiley.
I'm Christy Scone.
Christy Scone.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's...
And you're Abby Wazim.
Abby Wazim. Okay, at least I don't sound like a bakery item, so that's a little bit better.
Ouch. Ouch. That was a gut shot right there.
Yeah, kind of mean.
And speaking of gut shots, I think we've got local news coming up, right, Riley?
Yeah, here we go, and here's our intro. Cody's gonna tell you about what's going around town. You wanna know what's happening on campus? Just ask this guy, because he knows the beat and what's going on. So, without further ado, campus chatter with our very own Cody the Wayne Scott. Here we go.
Okay, before we get into local news, I wanted to, we've been talking a lot about Count My Vote on this show, and I just wanted to put that to rest. It looks like the Utah legislation has approved a bill, a compromise between Count My Vote and the legislature that that everyone seems to hate, so you know it's a good compromise. So the deal is that... state lawmakers from Count My Vote, the system allows primary elections and an alternative path to the ballot to primary elections. Let's start over here. Here we go. Okay, so the way Count My Vote works now, they wanted to have direct primaries to elect officials, correct?
Yes.
So now what the state lawmakers have done are they're still allowing caucus conventions. But they're also allowing signatures. So if a candidate wants to run in the primary, he can get a certain number of signatures and then go up against the caucus candidate.
Oh, okay. Wow,
so
really
it's kind of a best of both worlds sort of thing.
Well, there has been some controversy. Some say that it was an effort to block the initiative funded by the people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the... That's why a lot of House Republicans were opposing it, because they don't think that legislation should step in the way of people's path.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's really happy about it.
Well, we're in Utah. You don't have to say House Republican. Just say politicians, because it's all Republicans.
Okay, yeah, good point.
That's assumed.
Yeah, so if it's a local position, a state position, you need 1,000 signatures to get on the primary ballot. So not that bad.
I can do that.
It's like a state senator or state Republican. I mean, state Republican. They're all state Republicans. State senator or state House of Representatives.
I feel like that still takes so much more effort, though, than what the real Count My Vote was proposing.
Yeah.
So that's... I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a step in the right direction. Maybe it's just the beginning of voting reform.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then with 29,000 signatures, you
can... We'll get Andy
for senator or House.
One of these next weeks. See how he feels about that, because he is quite passionate about this topic.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get him on with some Boston politics. All right, Sister Wives reality show. Does anyone watch that?
Every week.
I didn't think so. You do watch it?
No, reality TV is garbage. Okay. Never watch it.
Especially Sister Wives. But they may be filming an episode at USU.
Oh, really?
Yes. A TLC representative could not offer many details, but he said the network is hoping to film at USU, though nothing is finalized in terms of the date or what would be filmed.
What would be the purpose of that? Why USU?
Well, here...
Polygamous might be here.
Yeah, the show first aired in 2010, and it follows a Las Vegas-based family, Cody, no relation... Mostly because it's first names. Cody Brown and his four wives, Mary, Christine, Robin, and Janelle, and their 17 childrens.
Childrens.
Okay. Anyway, so one of his daughters received a scholarship to USU. So she's going to actually be coming here as a student, most likely. Or they'll be touring the campus.
If so, I doubt it, but we'll try to get them on our show.
Yeah, USU spokesman Tim Vitale confirmed the network has spoken with the university, said the producers of the show made some preliminary contacts with us, so it might happen, yes. But the talks were informal and details are not firm by any measure. We're waiting to see where this goes.
Okay.
So if you see TLC camera crews on campus.
Wow, I guess they probably want to keep it a little bit more informal so they can have that surprise, that originality edge that people aren't expecting it.
Well, it is reality TV, so it's not real.
It's not the first reality TV show to film on the Utah State campus. The season finale of Bigfoot Hunters?
Yep. It's because we have
spent a lot of time interviewing professors here.
Folklore
Archives, yep. Mm-hmm. So they scoured our archives and interviewed some students and professors.
So if you see people around with cameras and stuff, that may be what it's about. And if you're very protective of your girlfriend, watch out, because she may be abducted by them.
Oh, no. I don't know if that's fair.
There, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Let's get off this.
or the cameras could be for the TV show on the Food Network, Food Court Wars, who are also bringing a show to Cache Valley. Food Court Wars brings two restaurants together, failing restaurants, and they compete for a spot in a food court.
Oh, wow. Aww.
So Submarinos, I have no idea where that is, and Molly's Kitchen. Oh, Submarinos is a... truck. It's a food truck that delivers up at the Beaver Ski Resort. Mm. They're competing against Molly's Kitchen for a spot in the Cache Valley food court.
Now, where is Molly's Kitchen?
I have no idea. It's out of business now.
I've never heard of that. Yeah. Sounds interesting.
It was home-cooked comfort food, but she was forced to close. It was a bakery here in Logan.
Forced. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so... the filming of the episode was completed more than a month ago. At the mall, and locals lined up to taste the culinary creations and vote on which one would get a spot in the Cache Valley Mall. My question is, who wants a spot in the Cache Valley Mall food court? That place is dead. It's a ghost town.
It really is. I've heard it called the Cache Valley Small.
Yeah.
Well, that just goes back to Riley's comment about the lack of reality on these reality TV shows. It's not, these producers aren't looking to the sustainability of these
restaurants.
The stakes
have never been lower.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, who knows? Maybe, and it looks like they will be revealing who won, and they'll be opening after the episode airs.
Yeah, the show airs April 14th on the Food Network.
April 14th. Tune into the Food Network.
8 p.m. 8 p.m. on April 14th.
We'll probably not be doing that.
I might. I'm excited. I can get excited about restaurants coming to Cache Valley.
I actually really love the Food Network, too.
Well, actually, here's a preview of what's happening. So, guess what happens on March 27th, Cody?
Taco Bell gets its breakfast menu.
And what day of the week is that?
Is it a Thursday?
Yep. So, we will be taste testing it live on air.
I don't think we should taste test it live on air, because we go on air at 4.
I know.
And breakfast ends at 11:30.
We have to do it.
Ooh, we can see how long this stores well.
Yeah,
well, my first impression of the Taco Bell food is that it's stale.
Hey.
And cold.
Save it for later. Okay.
And daylight savings time may come to an end here pretty soon, at least in Utah.
Really?
A Senate committee voted 4-2 on Wednesday to advance a measure to the full Senate to create a committee to study the usefulness and practicality of daylight savings time.
And see, the whole issue of daylight savings was made is to accommodate farmers. Now, if you know anyone who does farming, they keep their own schedule no matter what.
Yeah.
And they're up before anyone else. It was to, you know, really just utilize the most of the sun so you can get your work done before the sun goes down. And when you didn't have electricity back in the day, that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, Riley, you have insomnia, so does that like mess up your circadian rhythm more, or is that like daylight savings?
Unaffected.
You're unaffected by daylight savings.
Because I know that I sure struggle with it.
It takes me about a week to catch up.
It's ridiculous, and I think that with the amenities that we have now, it's pretty unnecessary personally.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, they're going to hold a public meeting, and anyone frustrated with it can make their case. So I think we should start a movement. I think we should save daylight. It's daylight saving time.
I'm on the other end.
Yes.
I say no to daylight savings.
Well, yeah, why would you support daylight savings, Cody?
Arizona got rid of it.
I just think that I always treat it as a holiday. And I always have a daylight savings party where you stay up till midnight and then you switch your clocks forward or backwards. Spring ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, see, fall's nice, but spring is just, not a happy day.
The good outweighs the bad.
That's
hashtag saving daylight savings.
Isn't that Sunday?
Yeah, it is. It is. This Sunday is daylight savings time.
So this could be your last one.
Yeah.
But
party it up.
If the effectiveness of the Senate here in Utah is anything, nothing will happen.
It actually says Representative Rhonda Menlove brought this up, so never mind. Maybe I don't support it. She's pretty crazy.
Oh, my goodness. I actually really agree to a lot of...
Really?
Rhonda
with
Menlove?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's
from Woods Cross? I guess I don't know a lot of specific legislation for this period of time. But like when she came and spoke to us, she came and had an event here at USU.
Really?
And spoke to us about higher education, and I feel like she's...
Oh, wait, I went to that event. That's yeah. Manlove?
Yeah.
Oh, I kind of like her. Are you sure that's her?
Yes, I know because I was over putting that together.
I thought she was on the school board, not the Senate. Hmm. Never mind.
Well, she's... I don't know, there's some confusion here.
It's we'll we don't know who's on par.
We'll have to double check on that.
Yeah, we will.
Actually,
if it's that lady, then yes, I support it. She seemed like a cool lady.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, heck, Mike Lee came here and spoke, and he didn't seem crazy, but he's kind of a monster, so.
Yeah, to each his own.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that does it for local news.
Okay.
We'll try and figure out who Rhonda Menlove is in the next break.
Do you think Menlove Rhonda?
Wordplay. That was good wordplay, right?
Hey, that's what your guys' whole major is about.
Yeah, there's a whole class on wordplay in the English major.
Mm-hmm.
English 5610 wordplay.
Anyway, pet peeves is what we have now.
Oh.
Now, I am ticked. I am cheesed. You could say I'm a bit peeved, a little off kilter, you know. So it's time for that. Pet peeves.
Yep, this is a segment we do when we run out of stuff to do.
And why we're on words, actually, can I start this pet peeve thing off?
Go right ahead.
Okay, and this is really silly, and I know that a lot of people probably will disagree with me on this, but it really bugs me when people say economics rather than economics. In his State of the Union address, President Obama said economics, and I just wanted to wring my hands.
Really?
It sounds so tacky, and I know that you can pronounce it both ways, but economics, really, people?
That's Ashley focusing on the issues right there. Getting upset over the pronunciation in President Obama's State of the Union speech.
No, I'm the same way when people say caramel instead of caramel.
You say caramel?
Yeah, because I'm fancy.
And I say potato.
Oh, I thought economics was bad.
There's some word you guys were making fun of me for saying the other day.
Caramel, like, that just... You're trying too hard, Riley.
Caramel.
Caramel, that's caramel.
No.
Are you from the South? It's caramel, Riley.
It's caramel.
Okay, whatever. Did you have more, Ashley?
Oh. Yes, I certainly had more. So, I guess along with that, no, not words necessarily. Oh, when you ask people how they are and they just give you a one-word answer and then they don't ask back, maybe I'm just a little bit narcissist, but I guess that's kind of the cultural expectation that when you say, how are you, that it's, unless you're just passing really fast, that typically, rather than give a one-word answer like good, people actually ask you, how are you? But maybe that's wrong with me. Do you guys answer back, how are you, when people ask you how you are?
I always try and, I've been doing it lately where I've been answering the opposite question. If they ask how I am, I say nothing. And if they ask what's up, then I say good. And that's been getting some good responses. But
I usually say, it doesn't bug me, I guess.
Yeah.
Like
I guess it's common courtesy, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But maybe.
Is this one person specific that does this?
Maybe. But okay. We don't need to disclose that information. But. Yeah, definitely bugs me. Or it's kind of like when you smile at somebody and they don't smile back when you've clearly made eye contact. Okay, maybe that just made me sound like a total weirdo. But I'm a smiley person, and I appreciate it when people smile back. I think that's, again, common courtesy. But
okay, yeah. Maybe they, like, are ashamed of their teeth or something.
Maybe
there's a reason they're not smiling back.
Maybe it's the digital culture. I feel like people are sitting on the Aggie bus or something like that, and they're just on their phones, and people just have this kind of zombie-like face. Maybe that's, I don't know. It just
Well, they may have their headphones in. I often will zone out, although I'm known for not having the best attention span.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? Keep them coming.
Okay, I think I've got about one or two more.
I want 20
so
more.
So another is when people try really hard to be eccentric to the point of where it's just kind of like the hipster thing taken too far. It's fine if you like bluegrass music, or it's fine if you really like wearing, oh my gosh, I don't want to point out any specific fashion trend.
Like vests for no reason?
Capris?
Or like really ugly sweaters that everybody is trying to wear or pull off. Or like the obsession with like Toms and ugly sweaters. It's fine. But just don't
try
too hard.
I agree with Toms. Like they're like, okay, we donate them to these kids in third world countries. I'm like, you're giving these kids awful pairs of shoes.
Yeah, they can't
they
run in Toms.
They probably hate Americans because they give them these shoes that give them blisters and last half a mile.
Exactly. And just, I don't know. People
who knows?
Need
maybe
to
they're
be
giving them shoes that aren't Toms. and
true. Yeah, yeah. We should probably, we need to fact check that and a couple, I don't know, we'll fact check all of that. But just, it's fine if you really legitimately like things, but I don't like this whole pretense of trying to be unique by just conforming to what's really the status quo right now. That bugs me.
Well, it's the same way with the nerd culture, too. Some people are nerdy for the sake of being nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll, like, make physics jokes and stuff, and you're like, you don't get physics.
Yeah, it's completely unnecessary.
Basically, they try to imitate what they think nerds are, which is the Big Bang Theory, and it's not.
Nope.
Yeah, and I think that sums up most... I mean, I could keep going for a long time. Maybe I'm just... Well, I've got a lot of these little things. Maybe I'm just too easily set off.
Harness this, Ashley.
Yes.
We'll table this, and then we'll come back later. To it. We'll
okay, see. Sounds anyway. Good.
I got a few
calm
things.
Down. Calm down. Okay, calm down, okay?
Just one is... I got a few things I got to talk about. One is trucks that take up more than one parking spot.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You know what? You're already probably... You're hurting the environment. You're looking like an idiot already. And most likely, you don't need that truck. I'm going to say probably 75% of truck owners don't haul stuff in it. They just, I don't know, it's a cultural thing. And they're like, oh yeah, I'll take more than one parking spot. Nope, not allowed.
Oh, going along with parking, have you guys ever had somebody leave a snarky note on your car after you parked somewhere?
Like, if you parked badly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a bumper sticker that people a lot of times leave notes, and they're usually very rude.
Yeah, that's another, I guess, one of my pet peeves is when people leave unkind notes to strangers who they don't understand the situation. Or it's like, why take that time out of your day to make somebody else's day worse? People need to be a little bit more understanding, I think.
You don't know. Maybe they can't see over the steering wheel.
Maybe they're just stressed and running late for work, and then this one...
Or maybe they're from Idaho.
Yeah, maybe they're from Idaho.
Well, yeah. I mean, parking sometimes hard. I've done a bad job before, but, you know, let it slide. But if they're intentionally taking up more than one spot, then I'm...
Yeah, okay.
Nothing.
Then you can leave a snarky note.
Well, usually what I'll do... So, as you know, truck beds are usually open, and sometimes I'll have trash in my car. And so what I do is I throw away my trash in their car. They might as well haul something, right?
Wow, okay.
That's anyway. A really mature way to cope with the situation.
I like it. It works for me. Number two, self-righteous parents. Oh my gosh, you're raising a kid. Thousands of people, millions of people have done it before. You're not, like, you know what? Probably what your kids is going to grow up to do is be a mid-level management like the rest of us and not make
ouch.
A... You know, I'm probably not good. Most of us aren't going to go on to do anything amazing.
Whoa,
and that's
whoa.
Fine.
Whoa, the...
And so, yeah, you're not
optimist
raising...
Me refuses
you're
to
not
agree
raising
to that statement.
The savior of mankind, okay? He's not... You're not like Sarah Connor. You're not raising John Connor who's going to take over it.
Do you get that? It's Terminator.
Oh, I
You'll have to watch that later.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... And also, like, where they... You know, if you're at a restaurant or, like, a movie theater and your kid starts crying... Probably shouldn't bring a baby out in public. I'm just going to say that right
okay.
now.
Okay,
a theater?
I strongly... Okay, maybe not
a
theater.
A movie theater and a nice restaurant.
But you have to think
restaurant.
Of the rights of the mothers who have to take around those children. You can't limit their rights
well,
because of the fact that they
have
children. No, that should not be limiting their rights to go places. And also, I agree to the fact that you shouldn't be a self... As far as, like, I agree that it does bug me when people are overly self-righteous with their child. But I'm not necessarily, I'm just going to raise a mid-level person, so I'm not going to be excited
Everyone
about it.
Everyone wants the best
no,
for their
no,
kids.
No.
Right?
Excited, but
upper management.
Like you see on Facebook, have other interests. I mean, I'm just saying, like, and move.
And there, yeah,
there
there's
are places
a balance.
For kids.
There is a balance
you don't
to
take,
that.
You don't take, like, a baby to a nice sit down restaurant or.
Fair enough. I'll agree to that.
Or, like, a nice hotel. And if. Well, if you take them to a nice hotel,
nice.
Make sure they don't keep everyone up crying.
Yeah, or keep them on their leash.
I'm just
I
saying.
I want you guys to be parents and get back to me. That's what I want.
I would be a polite parent and not go to a movie with a baby. No, you didn't go to that movie with us. This baby started crying and the mom did nothing. Didn't even, like, go down, walk there.
What movie was
it? It was 12 Years a Slave.
No, it wasn't, Riley. It was the Lego movie, I'm sure, or something like that.
No, it was 12 Years
Frozen.
A Slave.
Frozen. That's the
she
risk you run when you go to a kid's movie.
A
no, she didn't.
Okay.
I'm sure she
and
didn't.
And even then, though, I think there needs to, again...
I'm not talking about children. I'm talking about babies. There's a difference.
Still.
True.
Okay. And then the third and final thing that I'm going to speak up against is, like, mean political stuff on Facebook.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Most people just believe lies. If you're going to put something up, put up an article, Don't put up like, not my president. You can look on my Facebook feed. I've never put one negative thing about Mitt Romney up there.
Is Facebook really even the place to voice any of those political... I know that people are maybe trying to make a difference, but I don't think any of it's productive. I feel like it just enrages people and divides people.
Maybe put like an article up, be like, hey, this is a cool article.
Or, yeah, that's something that's informative. Or be like, oh,
I feel like this a lot, and then put it there, but...
Yeah, I'm just really not sure. I've never posted any my political views. Just I don't know that that's the
or
medium.
They share like a mainly it's just like a one sentence statement with a picture, and then I'll see like I notice who it is, and if it says like Citizens for Liberty or Tea Party or something like that, I'm like, oh, I used to respect you.
Okay.
That's all me.
Okay. I hope I don't get in trouble for saying these ones.
Ooh.
Let's see. I might get attacked.
I might get feisty with you if you say some stuff like Riley.
And it's in cursive, so I can't read it.
A specific group of people that text and drive or text and do anything, and the group I'm talking about is people over 40. Us teenagers, we grew up texting and driving. We grew up having conversations and texting people at the same time. We can shop and text. We can drive and text. You cannot. No one over 40 knows how to do it. They have all these commercials and they show young kids, you know, texting and driving and getting in accidents and killing people, when really the problem and the worst drivers I see on the road that are talking on their cell phones are old people.
That's a little ageist, but I do agree that nobody should be texting and driving.
Or at least wear a seatbelt if you're doing it.
That everybody is impaired when they're texting.
Yeah, but them especially.
The multitask thing is a myth. Nobody can do that, but...
We're a little better at it than them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say...
Come on.
Well, hand-eye coordination in general, I think that's been an understood thing. But I don't know, but I feel a little uncomfortable singling out over 40s just because...
I don't.
It sounds so ageist.
If you're over 40...
That's in a personal view I don't necessarily subscribe
if
to.
If you're over 40, there's three things you can't do. Wear skinny jeans.
Yeah, okay.
I'd say add me as a friend on Facebook. That's a personal thing. Expect limited access or see text.
Okay. The other pet peeve, people who make up words when they don't know the word to use. I heard someone the other day here on campus, a college student, a student of a higher institution of learning, say alphabetize. It's alphabetize, okay? Your teacher alphabetized the class, and that's why you sat by that girl. She didn't alphabeticize it.
No, I agree. I once heard someone call a crown a king hat.
A king hat. Okay, this is related to your thing, Riley, but people who won't watch Modern Family because there's a gay couple on it.
Oh, there's quite a few people like
there's immorality on TV. If you want to attack a show, don't attack a show that's so good.
You know what you should attack? Plus is Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
There's more people hooking up there than Mardi Gras.
Yeah. So, that and,
also, that cannot be safe for FDA codes. Like, I'm just saying, that's a hospital. You need to keep things clean. I think that hospital should be shut down.
Yeah. Also, I might be the first person to ever have noticed this because I'm on to YouTube. I think they're slowly trying to take control of our minds.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Have you noticed that the YouTube commercials are getting longer and longer?
Yeah, and they don't allow you to skip them. A lot of major corporations, like I know Walmart, I don't think that you can skip their ads.
You have to sit through their ads.
Or certain Olympics ads, I don't think you're able to skip through.
I'm not even kidding you. There was a 9-minute YouTube ad. Luckily, it let me skip, but 9 minutes is ridiculous. The video I was watching was like 30 seconds, and it was a commercial anyway. It was a movie trailer.
Ooh, what movie trailer?
I don't remember. Oh. It wasn't any good. It was research for the show, so.
Okay.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Well, and we're going to play a song. And what are we playing, Ashley?
Oh, gosh. Let's play is a shout-out to my dear friend, Millie. We should play My Doorbell by the White Stripes.
Millie that was on our show.
Yes.
I saw her at the store yesterday. Did she tell you about that?
Yeah, she said that you were like, Millie, 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 and she didn't know how to respond.
Well, no. I was saying, Millie, Millie, Millie. I was singing, and I have no idea why.
Why didn't you say
I just saw her and felt like singing, and,
wow, she had that effect on you, Cody. I'll have to tell her that.
Yeah, so, I was already gone.
Next time we'll be announcing the engagement of Cody Scott and Millie Vanilli.
Oh,
and,
dear.
Here we go.
I think it's pronounced Vanilli.
Oh, I'm not sure. Anyway, here's My Doorbell by the White Stripes. Good pick, Ashley. From their album Get Behind Me, Satan. So we're back. That was by the White Stripes. A fun fact about that band: people weren't sure if they were married or related. Turns out they were married. And Meg, she's the drummer, has a horrible, horrible alcohol addiction. So good luck with that, Meg.
That is a fun fact, Riley. Thanks for bringing that up.
I don't know. You should not tell those type of facts about songs that we like. Now I just feel like I can't listen to that without feeling sad.
Well, no. Or Jack drinking. White is doing his own things. I don't know if you've heard his new albums.
Oh, I haven't.
He's on his own. He's good. He's the heart of that band. And he's the only male in a duet song on the James Bond songs.
Huh. How interesting.
With Alicia Keys. But we have some news, so let's get that intro going.
Yep. And while Riley's setting that up, quick update on the weather. It's still wet outside, right? It is still wet outside.
It's cloudy.
You know us, bringing you the most complete and up-to-date weather.
It's not cold, which is nice.
Oh, yeah. So it's wet but not
being
cold.
Being from St. George, it's cold.
I guess relatively cold.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's our guest who we're going to have on after this new segment, but here it goes.
Live from Aggie Studio, we have Abby Wazim giving us the news that we need. She's smart, fun, and classy. Here we go.
Thank you. That's a wonderful introduction, Riley. So today I want to be talking about an article from the New York Times about the conflict going on currently between Ukraine and Russia.
Hmm.
I know that we know kind of the basics. We know that Russia's invaded Ukraine, or not invaded fully, but they're starting to look threatening to Ukraine. So I just want to cover some of the basics and how the United States and the European Union should react. So as background, on Friday, armed men in military fatigues marched into the principal airport I'm going to butcher some of these Russian and Ukrainian towns, but
just yell them, and it'll be like you're pronouncing them correctly.
Sounds good. Simferopol, the capital of Ukraine's most contentious region, Crimea. The uniforms did not reveal their identity, but an alarmed interior minister in Ukraine's new government declared the move an armed invasion by Russia. The incursion came 24 hours after a masked gunman took over government buildings there, raising the Russian flag over the regional parliament, in a defiant sign that the battle for Ukraine is far from over.
Hmm.
So, I mean, raising the Russian flags, I think that's quite the statement there alone.
After they just protested against a Russian regime or takeover. Well, not takeover, but yeah.
Yeah, so that says a lot right there. And then in Kiev, the pro-European activists who succeeded in bringing an end to the Russian-backed government of now former president
Viktor is his name.
Viktor are making progress, choosing a new government with a well-qualified prime minister. But in Crimea, on the Black Sea, tensions are building. The situation is serious and the risks are enormous. Crimea is the flashpoint. If Ukraine unravels, it will begin there, in a small peninsula that has played a huge role throughout history because it's just a strategic position between Russia and Ukraine. And if Russia decides to launch military intervention, its justification and target will be Crimea. For that reason, Ukraine's new government must skillfully pay attention to how it deals with the concerns of the Crimean people and the status of the part of the country. At the same time, the U.S. and Europe must also play a constructive role, making Moscow understand that this must and can be resolved without military intervention. Which, again, I think is always interesting how the United States and Europe are just take a very paternalistic role within the world. I mean,
they're literally superpowers.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that that's wrong or unwarranted, but it's just interesting the global expectation that if the United States did not act, or the European Union did not act, how that would be taken. How dare you not help us? It's interesting, even though, again,
it kind of creates a dependency, it seems like.
It does, but at the same time, I think we do have a degree of moral authority that it's dependency versus, you know, making lots of people suffer. I think dependency is...
Do you support sending troops or military action?
Oh, I don't think that we have enough information right now to know if that's warranted. And yeah. I would be very slow to send our troops into somewhere where there's not a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Because, but yeah, so going on with...
So Crimea seems to be the point of conflict right here, right? Which is, from what I understand, in Crimea, most people speak Russian, not Ukrainian.
No, that's what it was saying. The entire country is home to millions of Russian-speaking citizens.
So while they might be Ukrainian, they identify with the Russian people more.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Kind of similar to what happened to Argentina in the 70s.
Yeah, and so there's actually citizens there that would like to be part of Russia, and I think they've had maybe in Ukraine. This article alludes to the fact that there might have been some discrimination problems in Ukraine. That people who are of Russian descent maybe aren't treated as well. And so that's one of Russia's reasons for invading or wanting to invade. And another thing is they want to maintain a sphere of influence over the area in general, of course. And it wants to protect its natural gas pipeline across Ukraine, of course. There's got to be capitalistic interest involved.
Of course.
Not capitalistic, because they don't want that over there. But
yep. Financial interests.
Money is the bottom line. You know, of course, they'll say, oh, we just want to protect our people. That's the pretense, is they want to protect people of Russian descent. But, of course, there's the gas line. And it just gives them a very strategic position in that area of the world in general.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to counter this and, I guess, respond to this. Ukraine's new president warned Moscow that if Russian troops leave their bases, it will be considered a military aggression.
An act of war.
Which I think that just the fact that they're raising the Russian flag, I don't know how much more aggressive and upfront. I guess not even aggressive, but what a statement that's making. I feel like it's interesting that Ukraine's seeming almost lukewarm.
Well, and then Kazakhstan. Oh, don't get me started on that. But that's
okay, we won't.
Pretty crazy.
But yeah, I think this Ukrainian situation could escalate into something, and it's something we need to keep our eyes on. And I would probably bet that 60% of the student body just has no idea that it's going on right now.
Yeah, that's why I went over. I mean, this isn't. This article is a couple weeks back, but just I feel like a lot of people are still like, wait, what's going on in Ukraine? Because it's spreading fast. But as far as what Ukraine can do for Ukraine's sake in the future, it must include ethnic Russians in the government and ensure their equal status.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, Ukraine should reassure Russia that, reassure Russia, I'm losing my place here. Okay, I'm going to skip that part because that doesn't relate to what we were talking about. But essentially, they need to ensure greater equality because then Russia will not have any ability to make those kind of claims that it's coming in to protect its people or anything of that nature. And then as far as the United States and Europe, Washington and the European Union must seek to lower the temperature while making it clear that the dismemberment of Ukraine is unacceptable.
Yeah. I think you're onto something right there. Ukraine probably just needs to define itself as a nation, not as certain regions like Crimea, and you know they were part of the Soviet Union for so long that there's still those connections. And if they want to become European, then they're going to have to do that.
Well, it just sounds like their nation's
themselves.
Very divided, which that just opens the door for those kind of takeovers. Because if you've got these faction groups of people that have enmity between each other, that's never going to end well.
Yep.
But the one thing the article does give some hope that light at the end of the tunnel, the crisis in Ukraine and the disputes that underpin it are complicated, but they are not unsolvable. If ever there was a time for strong, decisive, and wise diplomacy, it is now. The protesters in Crimea and anyone who backs them in Moscow should get the message that Crimea will remain a part of Ukraine.
Okay.
Well,
yeah,
more on
hopeful.
That to develop. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated.
Thanks, Ashley. So pay attention to Ukraine in the news there. We've got the Ultimate Frisbee team on the show today, and Brad is here to join us. Do we want to play a song or just get right to him, Riley? Riley's watching the time
right
for us. Okay.
Okay, so just scoot up here, Brad.
So coming fresh off of their tournament in Vegas, USU's Ultimate Frisbee team being represented by their captain here, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Well, we're all doing okay.
Good. Better than Ukraine, I guess.
Apparently, yeah. How is Ukraine's Ultimate Frisbee team? Did it participate in the tournament at all?
I don't know. I haven't seen them around here, but that's
the fighting
how
Ukes.
It goes. The international Frisbee scene's maybe not as big as it could be.
Gotcha.
They might have a team. I don't know. I'd have to look into that.
So tell us a little bit about the Frisbee team, how you guys came to be, and what you do here on campus.
The Ultimate Frisbee team's actually been a part of USU for, I think, close to 20 years, and people just don't know about it. I think some of the upper leadership of Campus Rec actually played on the Ultimate Frisbee team.
Oh, like, wow.
So, yeah, it's been around for a long time. We're always out on the quad playing, and people stop and they ask, what are you guys doing? We're the club team for USU. And it's been kind of interesting to see people. Oh, I know Ultimate Frisbee, and I've played that at Family Home Evening. I know the Air Force sometimes plays it, and a lot of even the NCAA teams will play it just kind of for fun to kind of get warmed up and stuff.
Oh, like football and basketball teams?
Yeah,
oh.
I've heard softball plays it a lot and different things like that.
And
so
it's a sport that's gaining popularity too, isn't it?
It really is. I can't remember where I saw a statistic, and I hate quoting stats without having some backup information, but it said that it's one of the most popular growing sports in the nation right now. I think the following's bigger than hockey and maybe it was bowling or something like that. Two fairly well-developed sports.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not much as much bowling as much as I like bowling. It's not doesn't have a huge American following, but it's gaining a lot of popularity. There's actually two professional ultimate Frisbee leagues in the nation right now.
Oh. Oh, wow.
And Salt Lake City actually just got a team, the Salt Lake Lions. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it grows. A lot of high schools are now starting to get organized teams and go to tournaments, whereas when I was in high school five, six years ago, that wasn't the case.
We had, you just got together
played around and had some fun with Ultimate Frisbee. But
so is that how you started then?
That was a bunch of the guys, actually. There's four or five guys on the team that went to high school with me, and we played Ultimate Frisbee out in the park in front of our high school just kind of for fun. Lots of people, no rules, bare feet, running through the park. And
sounds safe.
Just kind of an after school activity. And then we actually... My senior year, we saw that the Utah Summer Games was having an ultimate frisbee tournament for the first time, and so we're like, hey, let's get a team, let's take them down to Cedar City, and let's go have some fun there. And we had to read through all the rules because just like most of the population, we didn't know that there was competitive rules and things like that. So we had to.
Is there anything that surprised you about the rules? I mean. Anything that differs in competitive games from when you're just like playing around with your friends?
It's a completely different sport.
Really?
You still throw, you still run, you still catch. There's still end zones and things like that. But
is it kind of like touch football compared to regular football?
I don't know. I still feel like with touch football, there's still a pretty high level of competition. Whereas in pickup Ultimate Frisbee, it's kind of just like you're going out for fun, kind of just messing around. No one really knows what they're doing, or if they do, it's very basic. And the jump from that to competitive Ultimate Frisbee is amazing. I mean, the rules add a very high level of competition. People are laying out to get discs and sprinting as hard as they can, and there's plays and there's defenses and all sorts of stuff like that you just don't get when you're with your friends playing in the park. And I think for me personally, once you start playing with those rules, that competition, it's hard to go back to the just pickup. It doesn't become as much fun.
Yeah.
You get kind of a little high from that.
So talk about USU Frisbee and, I mean, how's our team?
It's getting better.
Really?
In the past couple of years, we've been becoming more and more competitive in the area. I mean, quite a few teams in this region. Montana has teams. Idaho has teams. BYU has an excellent team. U of U has teams.
BYU is the worst. They're just the worst team out there.
How does USU fare against these teams? Do we do pretty well?
When I first started 3 years ago, not great. But it's become a lot more involved. We've got a lot more going for us now. Our funding's been increased and things like that. And we're getting more and more popularity with students. Students are recognizing it as a sport, and so they're like, hey, can I come play? And we have a lot of talented students on this campus, and so as they come in, we're able to incorporate them into the team.
Cool.
So just a quick question. So as far as becoming more competitive, and it sounds like you're looking at official rules, do you just get together every time and play the game, or do you have like specific training sessions or specific drills that you go over or do in order to improve your stamina? And
that's a good question. We actually have practice just like any competitive team. We have drills, we warm up, we stretch, and I think that's the part that takes a lot of people aback when they see us playing. I remember we played on the quad a couple years ago, and one of the soccer team guys came over to me because they practiced on the other half of the quad. He's like, you guys are running harder than us. And we're soccer. Like, it's pretty intense. We do have those drills and things like that. And it's really, really quite fun.
So you guys were in Vegas just this last week.
Yes, we were.
Do you have a tournament there then?
We did. It's one of the, from what I know, it's one of the bigger tournaments in at least this half of the nation. And Ultimate Frisbee is really big back east, but just like most things back here in the west, it's really spread out. So Vegas is an opportunity for a lot of teams to kind of come together in one location and just have a weekend of.
And how'd you guys do?
We did well, actually. We finished first in our pool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. We then went to face USC. Their team.
Wow.
And we actually we destroyed them.
Really?
We weren't sure that was going to happen, but we won like 13-5 and totally
wrecked
them. And then that set us up to play Florida, which we actually just got the rankings back, and right now Florida's ranked number 4 in the nation right now.
Wow.
So that was an interesting experience. We weren't ready to take down Florida, but we gave them a run for the money, and it was a fun game. We got to learn a lot, see how really high division Ultimate Frisbee is played. So unfortunately we lost to Florida, but after that we went on to win out and we finished 5th overall.
Wow, that's really impressive, yeah.
Oh, wow.
From my recent memory, I think that's our best finish at a tournament for the Ultimate team. So we were really happy with what we were able to accomplish there.
Do you guys ever play here on campus? Can people come watch?
Yeah, we do. The problem with Ultimate is it's not like a sport where like basketball, how you have away games and home games and away games, and you mm-hmm. travel. And it's set up like a tournament style. And so we have a tournament here each fall called the Big Sky Warm-Up, but it's just 3 days, just one weekend. And then that's essentially it for the entire year for Logan games.
Okay.
And then the rest of our games, we travel to the different tournaments that are hosted by different schools and different organizations and things like that. So that's where you can watch us in actual competitive play against other schools. But we do play on the quad once it gets warm here. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays around 5, 6 o'clock, we'll be out there playing. And students are more than welcome to come watch. A lot of them even come and ask, hey, can we play with you guys? And especially towards like the end of our practice, we'll say, yeah, jump on. Let's get people invested in this. Let's give them a good experience with Ultimate Frisbee so they can say, you know what, yeah, I've played competitive Ultimate Frisbee, and it was a lot of fun, and we can hopefully grow the knowledge base of the sport, yeah. Where it's such
a... I would love to see, like, you know, you go check out the match. You know, there's a hot dog stand there, buy a hot dog. Maybe you guys could sell, like, official Ultimate Frisbee...
actually do have discs. They're for sale. They're only $10. They've got our logo and stuff
on.
Oh,
wow.
Really? Oh, I had no idea.
How would we find those?
You'd have to get in contact with us. We do have a club sports page just on the club or campus rec website.
Mm-hmm.
Go to men's ultimate, or there's actually a women's ultimate team as well.
Wow.
And contact us, one, if you're interested in playing, two, if you want to buy a disc or just have questions about the sport. We're always happy to answer any questions you have, and we'd love to see you come out and play with us. It'd be a lot of fun. We'd love to teach you. That's one thing we run into is people are like, I really don't know how to throw very well, and we say, neither does anyone else on this campus. We didn't know how to throw very well in the beginning either, and we're happy to teach people the rules and the technique and give them maybe a little bit of the passion that we have for the sport and hopefully progress that in the community, get high schools involved and things like that.
Really grow a program here. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where this goes in the next years.
We'll
sounds like you guys are on your way. Yeah.
Yes. We might be actually having a scrimmage against that professional Ultimate Frisbee team, USU versus the Salt Lake Lions team. We might be doing that maybe a Saturday coming up, so stay tuned. Post some posters around campus, and it'd be cool to have some Aggies come check it out, maybe meet some members of the team and get a feel for the sport.
Cool.
Well, we'll look for that. We'll play a song now, and then after that we'll have a quiz.
Thanks,
yeah.
Guys.
You got to stay around.
All right.
As part of this segment, Brad, you got to participate in a game for
a
prize.
We'll do.
So,
I'm ready today.
Okay, and here we go. One second. Let me introduce the song. This song is called Mr. Saxo Beat by Alexandria Stan. It is just a fun Eurobeat song. And here we're going to go.
You make me this, bring me up, bring me down, play sweet, make me move like
So we are back, and what's our intro song for the game, Cody?
Space Jam.
Yeah, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble.
Okay, I was gonna wait too far. Anyway, we have the quiz thing.
Tell us about it, Cody. Yeah, so Brad, you have you play with the Ultimate Frisbee team. You're fit. You're almost like a superhero in a sense.
You could say that, definitely.
But your power is being really good at throwing frisbees and running.
Maybe not so much the running part, but I'm fairly good with a disc.
Well, the quiz today will be three questions about superheroes with really dumb powers.
Okay.
Okay, and if you get two of them right, you'll win our prize, which today is a big old bag of Sour Patch watermelons. Which
definitely helps.
Yeah, you can share that with the team.
Yeah.
And be like, eat a handful of these and then do your running.
That's the idea. You die if you don't.
Or share it with the other teams. Maybe give yourself a competitive edge there.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are actual superheroes. This is from a Huffington Post article, but these are actual superheroes, and I'm just going to ask you questions about their powers, okay? Squirrel Girl has all of the following powers, except A.
This one's easy.
She can communicate with squirrels. B. She can gain super strength by eating macadamia nuts. C. She has retractable knuckle spikes. Or D. She can glide from treetops. Which one is not the superpower that she has?
Oh, jeez. There's two in there I could definitely get rid of. Let's see. I think it's between knuckle spikes and what was the second one?
Macadamia nuts.
Gain strength by eating macadamia nuts.
In a Popeye-like fashion.
Pop.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with the macadamia. Don't squirrels usually eat acorns? Isn't that their thing?
Just answer the question.
B is your final answer.
Go with the macadamia.
She can gain
nuts.
Super strength by eating macadamia nuts.
She cannot, right?
She can.
And
oh, yeah, you're trying to find out the power that she doesn't have.
Okay, I believe that she cannot eat macadamia.
Yeah, that's wrong. Riley said it a little early. Jumped the gun there. But yeah, you're wrong either way.
To learn more about her, read the issues of the Great Lake Avengers. They only fight crime in the Great Lake area.
So yeah, the correct answer is she cannot glide from treetops.
Okay.
Oh, that's a different kind of squirrel.
Yeah, so she can't do that. She doesn't have that power.
Squirrel girl.
But all those other ones, yes, she actually has those.
That's
weird, huh?
Aren't macadamia like Hawaii? Is that a Hawaii thing?
I don't know.
She's a Hawaiian squirrel.
I didn't get it. But that's the fact there. Oh, so you've got two left.
Uh-oh.
You got to get these two right, okay?
It's crunch time.
The Red Bee, another odd superhero. He's an assistant district attorney by day and an actual crime fighter by night. What superpower does he use to defeat enemies? Is it A, he keeps a swarm of trained bees in his belt and unleashes them on enemies? B, he uses a stinger that retracts from his abdomen? Or C, he can communicate with any species of bee as long as it's red? This is the red bee. This is kind of different than the other question. You have to answer what power he actually has this time.
He does have. Let's see. I don't like the first one. That seems a little far-fetched. But granted, we're also talking about the red bee man superhero, so... Let's go with... What was... Read them again real quick.
Okay, he has a swarm of trained bees that he releases bees, from his belt. Uses a stinger that retracts from his abdomen. And he can communicate with any species of red bee.
Let's go with B, the stinger.
Final answer?
I don't know. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. No, it's wrong. He actually keeps a swarm of trained bees in his belt and unleashes them on his enemies. Yep, that's the red bee.
I should have known that.
But you can still win the consolation prize, which is...
A high five.
Yes.
Okay. I've been wanting a high five today. So.
The superhero Black Condor has the ability to fly.
Yeah.
How did he receive his special ability? A, he was born on a planet populated by large black flying aliens. B, he was bitten by a radioactive condor. Or C, after his parents died, he was raised by a group of highly intelligent condors.
That's like Jungle Book, almost.
Almost, yeah.
Almost like Jungle Book. Let's go with A.
A, he was born on a planet populated by large black flying aliens.
I don't think he can
just
learn to fly being taught by birds. Unless he has ultimate superpowers.
Final answer?
No, let's go B. I saw a little head shake there.
He was bitten by a radioactive condor. That's the one you're going for.
That one.
No, it's actually that after his parents died, he was raised by a group of highly intelligent condors. So you've gotten zero.
Zero, correct. I don't even get a high five. Ouch.
So
I don't need these condors then.
Right?
They obviously know something that we don't.
Well, that is DC, who, let's just say, their stuff is inferior.
Riley's pretty passionate about comic books.
Yeah.
He was upset with the quiz because I labeled it Ultimate Spider-Man and then didn't talk about Ultimate Spider-Man at all.
Or
so
the Ultimate Universe. Anyway.
He's kind of peeved. But thank you for being on the show. You're great. Check out the Ultimate Frisbee team. Get on the school webpage.
Campus Rec, and then there's a club sports link. You can go check us out.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, we're going to have a robot that claims to be human. News segment, something about the Pope, I know. And Cody's going to tell us what's happening around town. But right now we're going to have Ashley. Ashley's
with the news.
Or as we call her, Abby Wazim.
Awesome. Okay. So, an article from the Huffington Post. Whoa, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're talking about the Pope today. But Pope Francis has signaled that he could see the Catholic Church tolerating some forms of same-sex civil unions, though not marriage.
Huh.
When it comes to situations such as medical care and property for gay couples, so more of the economic side of things, which I think is interesting because this Pope set a new precedent by being a little bit more progressive. At least that's how the media is being portrayed.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of interesting stuff coming out of this Pope.
Yeah, so I thought that we might just kind of review his latest statements on that.
Yeah.
Because in an interview with the Italian daily, these European names and places today.
I said, Ashley, just yell them and it'll sound like you're saying them correctly.
I don't yell, Cody. In an interview with the Italian daily Corriere della Sera, the Pope said that matrimony is between a man and a woman, but moves to regulate diverse situations of cohabitation are driven by the need to regulate economic aspects among persons, as for instance, to assure medical care, according to a translation by Catholic News Service. And then another thing he said that was interesting, going along with that, is he said, it is necessary to look at the diverse cases and evaluate them in their variety. And so while the remarks were far from endorsing same-sex marriage, something Francis and his predecessor, Pope Benedict XVI, have spoken out against, they represent the latest in what many Catholics and his church observers have read as a more gay-friendly tone of the church under the Pope, who was elected nearly a year ago. So, and another thing that he said that was really interesting, this is kind of a quote he's been famous for, is, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has a good will, who am I to judge? So,
well, you're the Pope, but...
No, that's another thing that they talked about, is he doesn't want to be viewed as this great, over-the-top, holier-than-thou.
Well, we reported a couple weeks ago on our show that they actually found out that the Pope had been sneaking out at night and putting on street clothes and volunteering at soup kitchens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, around the Vatican and around Italy. So, I mean, we're seeing a huge change and paradigm shift in the Catholic Church.
A lot of people say this guy, he's promoting Christian values for the first time in a while.
Wait, one thing that he said was, he said that
he's
he
very
was
loving,
not...
though, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he was... He said he's not a fan of mythology, of him as more than human, which I think is really impressive.
That's really interesting.
Just, I think that'll help, too, with the negative media. They've gone over the corruption and the sex scandals and things like that. Just a lot of money and a lot of power in bad places, I guess, or in high places that can be abused, where he's coming down like, hey, I'm the average guy who has a very special calling. I think that
so
will
So there'll
help.
Be no issues of Pope Man coming out anytime soon?
If so, I wouldn't pass the quiz.
Yeah. Yes. And the latest interview was not the first time the Pope has spoken favorably of civil unions. While he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires in 2010, and Argentina was on the brink of legalizing gay marriage, then-Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio support legalizing civil unions as a compromise. He called same-sex marriage an attempt to destroy God's plan and said gay adoption was a kind of discrimination against children. Huh. LGBT rights organizations and gay Catholics have hailed Francis for making a more positive statements on gay people during his papacy. So maybe he didn't initially hold these more progressive views, but I think that what the Catholic Church is starting to recognize is that in order to promote their cause, especially in a nation where Christianity isn't... it's declining rather than increasing, that they have to change their approach in the way that they're addressing the issue. They can't... It no longer works, especially with, I think, our generation, this rhetoric of this hard nose, no we, dislike gays, well, that doesn't work. And so, in order to still uphold their own agenda, they have to... And just really, like as we mentioned, uphold true Christian values, the actual doctrine of Christian values, they have to be a little bit more... fair and equal in their representation of their views, I guess.
Yeah.
A little bit more, less polarized, I guess, in the way they speak of their views. So.
Cool.
And yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up. So keep your eyes on that. It'll be interesting to see, as time goes on, how progressive this gets, or if they'll continue upholding the idea that marriage between same gender is incorrect, according to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, cool.
But us here at Aggie Newsroom, we like them.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any other stories, or is that it?
No, that's good. We've got Kevbot here with tech news.
We do. We'll play a song first. And this is The Best Day of My Life by American Authors, and then Kevbot.
Yep. And then after Kevin, I've got a question to ask while we've got some people in the studio here. I wanna do a little survey on air about college.
Well, so here we go.
Here's the Sounds song. Good.
Back. What?
Okay, so we are back, and we are going to talk to Kevbot. Now, Kevbot originally got his nickname when he met one of his best friends for the first time, and this handsome-looking man called him Kevbot, and history is made.
Yep. We're excited. I mean, I never interviewed somebody who wasn't human, so...
This is going to be new for me, so just, you know, be patient with me. But so, Kevbot, tell us about the latest in technology.
Well, there's some interesting stuff going on. Speaking terribly?
I think we're gonna.
Is it my?
Oh, the technology is being difficult to Kevbot.
It's not picking up.
There's too much feedback from my robot mouth.
Yeah,
okay. That's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, here we go.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, this is a problem. Okay. So, anyone here like Ferraris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cherry red, especially.
Sweet.
Yeah, Italia.
So last year at Apple's annual WWDC conference, which is widely known for their, you know, big announcements about iOS or MacBooks or whatever. Well, last year they announced they're going to do iOS in the car, and it kind of got ignored. I don't think anyone really knows about that.
That sounds safe. That sounds really safe, having an operating system in a car.
Right.
What would be the purpose of that?
So the idea was you could have Siri guide you places, because you got other cars like Ford has tried to do this with Microsoft. It doesn't really work as well as some people would have hoped, but
and Siri's voice is probably much more comforting and enjoyable than just GPS beeps.
Yeah,
is that exactly. That's part of the motivation, I'm sure.
So what they wanted to do is have, you know, everything embedded with GPS and phone and everything and work really smoothly, just like any kind of Apple product.
So essentially the dashboard would look like an iPhone cover? I mean, like an iPhone or iPad?
Yeah, it looks... I've got a picture right here. It looks just like an iPhone with big, you know, $10 million Ferrari logo right above it.
The iFerrari.
The iFerrari. Yeah, there we go.
Ooh, I like that. Cars of the future.
So they're also looking at doing the same kind of thing with Mercedes and Volvo. So I'm sure none of us will have the kind of money to... play around with this technology.
We can dream. Maybe by the time that they get that all in, we'll be rich and famous.
Right.
Anything else that's new that we need to be informed about?
Well, not to be outdone, Microsoft has also been working on a new virtual assistant for phones. Their new version for Microsoft Phone is going to have an assistant they call Cortana. I'm sure some people will recognize.
So this is Siri for Microsoft.
Siri
Cortana,
for Microsoft.
I like it. It has
named
a nice ring to it.
Named after a character from the popular Halo series.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay, yeah.
So they haven't given many details about it yet, but that's something that should be interesting.
Huh.
There's another big thing, too. Riley will love this.
I'm in.
Oscar Mayer announced today that they were going to be releasing an Apple iPhone app that combines smell with the sound of an alarm to bacon.
Oh,
what could
my
be better
gosh.
Than waking up not only to the sound of bacon, but the smell of it also?
Oh, wouldn't you start to hate it, though?
Maybe.
I mean, I actually listen to music I hate, because if I put music I like to my alarm, I'll come to just hate it. So that's why I always listen to country in the morning. Sorry, that was kind of a jab. But
I always listen to whatever Riley has played on the show the previous week.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Speaking of bacon, have you guys seen... Oh, this is maybe getting slightly off topic, but I'm just going to go there anyway. Have you guys seen the As Seen on TV bacon bowls that they're selling at the Walmart? Those are terrifying. I feel like all the guys are like, yeah, bacon. Like, bacon, anything's good. But I bacon bowls, bacon alarms. I'm just a little
salt.
Scared.
I've got a friend that does Bacon Week, where you have to eat bacon in every meal for an entire week.
I don't understand the obsession, but maybe it's just because I'm a girl.
Bacon bowl, what's next? Bacon spoon, bacon fork?
You haven't lived.
We've got bacon band-aids on the Ultimate Team.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry.
Are these edible band-aids that taste like bacon?
Oh, I don't know if I can handle this.
No, they're just bacon-shaped. I wish, though.
Cool, so a bacon app. Bacon alarm clock app. I love it.
So, and are there other flavors or scents they're proposing, or just bacon?
Not yet, just bacon so far. you know, I suppose baloney might be in the question later.
Oh my gosh.
So the only problem is they aren't actually selling it. They're giving it away in a sweepstakes, so you can apply on Oscar Mayer's website. And unfortunately, Android and Windows Phone users will not be able to get the ability to wake up to the smell of bacon.
That is such a shame. Oh gosh. So
anything else for us, or is that it, Kevin?
Well, there's one last article that I found interesting today. Some of you may remember around Christmas time, Amazon released this video and this big press hoopla about drones delivering packages. And a lot of people aren't really sure if they're serious, if they're actually going to do it. Sparked a lot of different groups looking into it, a lot of schools doing research. But Netflix, kind of in a mocking way, released a video that shows a drone delivering a Netflix DVD. So the idea is you can get a Netflix DVD anywhere. You know, you could be in the woods, you could be going on a run, whatever. So we're not really sure if this will ever happen, but it's certainly something that would be nice.
Well, thanks, Kevin. We appreciate, I mean, just I think I speak for all of us at USU and just college students in general, that we really appreciate what you and your fellow computer people do for us. Hey. We appreciate it. You guys are stellar.
And so that's Tech Talk with KevBot. And up next, we have Campus Chatter with Cody. And here is our intro. Cody's going to tell you about Campus Chatter.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Great effort. I like that.
You've all been waiting.
All right. First we were going to go over this story. Rachel Canning of New Jersey. Does that name sound familiar to anyone? She's been in the news lately. She's suing her parents for immediate financial assistance and help with college tuition after she says she was kicked out of her house and cut off financially. Canning, who's 18 and currently living with a friend, wants a judge to declare that because she has not been emancipated from her parents, she is still dependent on them and in need of their financial support, according to the New Jersey outlet of the Daily Record. However, her parents say they did not abandon her. Rather, they say she voluntarily moved out after refusing to follow the rules. Her dad says this: "We love our child and miss her. This is terrible. It's killing me and my wife. We have a child we want home. We're not draconian, and now we're getting hauled into court. She's demanding that we pay her bills, but she doesn't want to live at home, and she's saying, I don't want to live under your rules." The teen, who reportedly wants to become a biomedical engineer, has been accepted to several colleges so far. The University of Vermont, where she's been offered a $20,000 scholarship, is her first choice. Her friend that she's living with, her dad is the lawyer. His name is John Inglesino. And he told the outlet that he wants to make sure the teen is able to attend the university of her choice. However, Rachel's father said she's being misled. "I know Rachel is A, a good kid, and B, an incredibly rebellious teenager, and she's getting some terrible information." That's what the dad told the newspaper. So my question is, is anyone here, is anyone's parents paying for their college?
Nope. No.
Mine aren't. I don't know. This brings up an interesting question. Should parents pay for their college? Should they be obligated to support their children while they're in college? And
well, I think if they can, they should be able to help.
In my opinion, and especially with this situation, it sounds like a matter of a social contract, because it's like, in order to receive those financial benefits, she has to give up certain rights. She has to live under their roof. But she's unwilling to give up that contract, she's unwilling to put her portion into that contract, so therefore I don't think that her parents owe her anything.
Yeah.
And do we even know the financial situation of this family? Is it they're extremely wealthy?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, even then, that just seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it seems to go beyond the point of college. You know, you move out to go learn how to live on your own. What's it going to help if your parents are paying for your school and giving you a huge stipend to spend all kinds of money on terrible food? And it seems to be just completely
counterintuitive in every sense of the word.
Yeah. It's almost like she thinks college is a right.
Yeah.
And it definitely is not. It's a privilege, and it's one that some people are privileged to more than others. I'd say some people have to work for it more than others, but it's not a right.
Well, and she does have a scholarship, so
yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
So
I kind of feel bad for her parents, though. He's just like, she's a good kid. She just has no idea how the real world works.
Well, I'm thinking, how will that impact? I mean, if you sue your parents, what kind of a relationship dynamic is that going to create in future years if they are feeling this constant threat that at a drop of a hat, you'll be taking them to court? I mean, that's got to make some screwed up family dynamics.
No, I've never done that, right? I have great parents.
I don't think you can go back from that. Threatening to see your parents, that's like, that just makes that huge rift.
Oh, absolutely. Ooh,
should I talk to my lawyer then?
That's the other thing. What kind of lawyer would take this case on?
Yeah.
Like, is that something you pin your career on? This headlining news that...
I
don't know. That's...
Well, and that's why I'm thinking there's got to be a lot of money involved, because this is an idiotic case, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, it's just interesting, because I know I have a lot of friends up here, and their parents are paying for their college, and one, it makes me jealous, but two, I don't know. I don't know if you get the same experience, you know.
I agree. There's a lot of spoiled little kids up here who don't
I just
said it less nicely than you.
Okay. I think it's a matter of opportunity cost. I mean, sometimes it's easy to feel a little bit unlucky or underprivileged when you've got, you know, your friend is getting what you kind of maybe consider more of a free ride, but I feel like the lessons you learn from being able to provide to yourself far exceed the financial gains your parents can give you. Not that it's wrong for parents to help if they can.
No, of course not.
I like what Riley said earlier. If they can help, a little help isn't bad. I mean, we're all in a part of our lives where we're trying to figure stuff out, and there are some opportunities that we can jump on, but sometimes we miss because we have other obligations for making money. So I mean, for example, my parents give me a little bit of money, like in $75 to $100 a month, to just kind of supplement food, but they won't do that if I'm not working and maintaining good grades. It's not like I have this just money flowing in and I'm flowing in. It's to help me as I'm playing Ultimate Frisbee and pursuing things like that I normally wouldn't be able to if I was having to work.
I think the problem is when you expect it.
Yeah, and again, you're fulfilling your portion of the social contract.
Yeah, I think
it doesn't sound like she is. So, well, that's. I just had a question. Wondered what you all thought about that. But we should probably move on to events on campus. And today and tomorrow, you've got the book sale in the library. They've got a couple tables set up. Has anyone been to the book sale?
I looked. A lot of the books are very not great.
Yeah.
They're
a quarter. What do you expect?
How to identify warts or something.
Yeah. I actually bought that book. That was the one I bought. How to identify warts.
Oh, gosh. Warts. I am such a sucker for buying books.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I just... Oh, and I... Oh, pet peeve. Another thing. Going back to our conversation earlier.
Time's over.
I really... No. This is important. Just... You cannot beat a hard copy of a book that you can literally tangibly hold... And it makes me angry when people act like tablets are that much better, because they're not. That's my emotionally charged appeal to pathos there.
In defense of my fellow tablet beings, don't be so quick to judge. You know, they can be helpful.
I personally do. I use a tablet for a lot of my stuff up on campus. I like it just because I'm not tied to my laptop. I can pull most of my stuff up. I also like the handwriting capabilities of a tablet, which you can't do on a laptop.
They have a place.
Yeah,
but
I'm
books
a book
will
guy
not
too.
Be obsolete till me and many other English majors are dead in the ground.
Until they pry them from our cold, dead hands.
In the future.
Let's see. Oh, tomorrow from 11:30 to 12:30, Nobel laureate and professor here at the university, Lars P. Hansen, will be speaking. I'm assuming that's in the Even Stevens Ballroom, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's in the performance hall.
No, it's in the performance hall. Thanks, Kevin. But, and then after that, not much is going on. Spring break.
No party. If you're in St. George, Ashley is up for anything.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Me and Cody and Kevbot will be kicking an old school up here in Logan because we're poor. Because
we're tied to jobs.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing. Don't be dumb. Yeah. Don't go do stupid things and get yourself killed.
Yeah, be safe out there. Or don't. See if we care.
Oh, wow. No. Now you can come to St. George. I'm sure there's like art festivals going on I could take you to, and lots of like really cool events.
Probably like a lot of old people and polygamists.
A lot of excuse me, a lot of good art culture, a lot of good hikes. We party hard in St. George.
There's a lot of landscape paintings and a lot of, like, cow skeletons down there.
No, in fact, I had a guy who once stopped me. He was from California. And he was like, hey, so what should I do in St. George tonight? And I literally, just being the person I am, I was like, hey, well, there's an art festival in Kayenta. And he was like, isn't that kind of a buzzkill? But hey, St. George, we have cool things. You just...
Sure. Go rock climbing.
St. George, the perfect place to stop on your way to California.
Yes, exactly.
Or Vegas.
Some low-key, yeah. fun...
Millions of people visit every year to fill
for
up their
five
tanks.
To 10 minutes.
Yes. No, that's not right.
Now, we're being a little mean to Ashley, and she has a few bruises, so we're going to listen to that song. It's by Train, and we'll see if it's good.
We come back, we'll have entertainment news, we'll have a weather report, and then we'll close out the show and let you guys go for spring break.
And here is Ashley's dumb song. I'm kidding.
Stop it.
Gravity hasn't started to pull quite yet. I bet you're rich as hell.
One that's five and one that's three. Been 2 years since he left me. Good to know.
So we're back. That was by Train. Not about trains, but pretty good. I was expecting it to be about trains. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little disappointed.
Quick update on the weather. It's still wet outside.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. We've been in the studio.
Yeah.
So.
No raptor attacks recently, so we're good on that too.
Yep. And traffic is the same as it always is in Logan.
Okay. Well, guys, you're probably wondering, Whose birthday is this week? And so I have the celebrity birthdays till next Thursday. Sweet. After that, you'll have to figure out yourself. Anyway, so today is Shaquille O'Neal, best known for, I think he played a sport, but he was in a movie called Kazam.
Shazam.
No.
Okay. Fine.
He's a genius, right?
Yeah. Tomorrow is Bryan Cranston, best known for Breaking Bad, also known as the dad from, Malcolm in the Middle. And he will be in the upcoming movie Godzilla.
Cool.
So ooh.
Saturday, someone close to mine and Cody's heart, James Vanderbeek. Tell me a little bit about him, Cody.
He was on Dawson's Creek with James Vanderbeek.
Yeah, and he was also recently in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Great show Cody got me into.
He played himself in that show.
He plays, yeah.
Pretty good.
And speaking of Cody, he loves wrestling. So, Melina Perez is a wrestler, and it's her birthday. Now, who is that?
I don't know who that is. No.
Okay, I was hoping you would know. Monday, Olivia Wilde, the famous wife of Jason Sudeikis, known for movies such as Tron or Cowboys and Aliens. Tuesday, Johnny Knoxville, kind of an idiot. And Wednesday, Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Good title.
That's his name, right? Isn't that how you say it?
Sure.
Maybe if you're, what's his face?
John Travolta.
John Travolta might say it that way.
Okay, Riley, I've got a quiz for you. I think we're going to turn the tables and I'm going to give you a quiz.
Quick, because I have stuff to review. Yeah.
Okay, Dancing with the Stars just announced the cast for this new season coming up. I'm going to say the name. I want you to tell me what they're from, okay?
Okay.
Candace Cameron Bure.
She was in Full House. She was DJ?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Full House. Yeah,
DJ's
going to
be on Dancing with
the
Stars.
It's always on.
She still looks pretty good. She's held up. Nene Leakes.
She's Real Housewives. I can't remember which one, though.
I don't know. One of them. She's Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh,
okay.
I hate all those shows.
Okay, here's a name you might recognize. Drew Carey.
He was from the Drew Carey Show.
Okay, yeah, we got that one.
And
Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams, also known as Lando. And he
from
played
Star Wars.
Harvey Dent in Tim Burton's version of Batman.
Yep. And then we have a couple hockey players and snowboarders.
Yeah, don't we have a lot of Olympians that are trying to get on as well?
Paralympians. Amy Purdy is a Paralympic athlete. She lost both her legs to meningitis at 19. I don't know how she's going to dance, but that'll be interesting to watch.
Prosthetics.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Sean Avery, former pro hockey player.
She probably is using them right now, I bet, in the Olympics.
For Ashley, Cody Simpson will be on there. He's a singer or something.
Oh, hold up. I thought I was supposed to be classy. Wasn't that part of my intro?
You don't think classy people listen to Cody Simpson?
Maybe. I don't think so.
Sit down in front of a fireplace in a leather chair and listen to Cody Simpson?
I sit and I pet my Persian cat and I look at my best of Mark Twain and as I listen to Cody Simpson. Yes, correct, Cody.
And James Maslow.
Oh. Okay.
A member of Big Time Rush, the band.
Okay. BTR. Okay. As you know, I review and let you know what you should and should not watch. Because there's a lot of dumb stuff out there, and I don't trust all of you to make right decisions. So Netflix, A Blast from the Past, Batman Beyond, produced by DC, really good. I think any kid our age watched it, and you'd actually be surprised how well it is done. It does hold up.
What's the villain on that one?
There's quite a few. Batman has more than one villain.
Can I just say that if they come out with one more Superman or one more Batman movie, though, I'm going to seriously lose it? Because it's like, it'd be acceptable if it was a remake like every 30 years. But I swear, it's every 5.
It's a continuous franchise.
And it's just, it shows like the total lack of originality in Hollywood because they just, it just drives me batty.
DC only has those two characters.
It drives me nuts.
And Marvel has, they're taking risks. I mean, Ant-Man? No one here even knows who Ant-Man is. Maybe someone does.
Sounds
Guardians
like a terrible villain.
Yeah. I'm just kind of sick of superhero movies in general.
We won't talk about
that. I would
that.
Like to see
Yeah, no, I don't feel like they hold any pull for me.
No.
Well, you guys lack imagination. Redbox, About Time is coming out. It's a romantic comedy involving time travel. Now, it's not stupid like The Time Traveler's Wife. It's a little bit better. Basically, this guy can go back in time within his life, and so he uses it to find the perfect girl and make him fall for her. Hulu, About a Boy is on there. Don't watch it. It is awful. The book is amazing. The movie's still pretty good. But this new series, produced by CBS, or as I call it, crappy broadcasting system, is there. And finally, in theaters this week, is The Grand Budapest Hotel. amazing. It's by Wes Anderson. It has basically every good celebrity in it, including, but not limited to, Bill Murray. And here's the trailer. After that, we'll play out with the song, but here we go with the trailer.
Why do you want to be a lobby boy?
Who wouldn't? At the Grand Budapest, sir.
And so my life began. Junior lobby boy in training under the strict command of Monsieur Gustav H. Many of the hotel's most valued and distinguished guests came for him.
I love you.
I love you. She was dynamite in the sack, by the way.
She was 84.
I've had older. This was also when I met Agatha. She's charming. She's so charming.
Is he flirting with you?
Yes.
I approve of this union. I became his pupil, and he was to be my counselor and guardian.
The police are here.
Tell them I'll be right down. She's been murdered, and you think I did it.
Hey! Stop!
You're looking so well, darling. You really are. I don't know what sort of cream they've put on you down at the morgue, but I want some.
This is Madame D's last will and testament.
To Monsieur Gustav H. I bequeath a painting known as Boy with Apple.
Wow.
What? Who's Gustav H?
I'm afraid that's me, darling.
If I learn you ever once laid a finger on my mother's body, living or dead...
I'd go to bed with all my friends.
We need to make a plan for your survival. Hide this. It's in code and you might need a magnifying glass to read it, but it tells you exactly where and how to find Boy with Apple.
I'm a baker. I'm not a fence, if that's the term.
I want roadblocks at every junction for 50 kilometers. I want rail blocks at every train station for 100 kilometers.
Get in!
I want 50 men and 10 bloodhounds ready in 5 minutes.
You can't arrest him simply because he's a bloody immigrant.
Take your hands off my lobby!
It was okay. So that looks really good, kind of quaint. If you have good taste, you'll check it out. Probably won't be able to see it in Logan, maybe never. But in Salt Lake, it should be in the next few weeks. And you can always, in a few weeks, you can be able to download it off of iTunes. But that's all for that we have today. And let's go on to our catchphrases. Come on, Cody.
Yeah, we want to thank you guys for listening. This has been Aggie Newsroom on Aggie Radio. I am Cody D.W. Scott, saying, stay pretty, Logan City.
And I am Abby Wazima, or Ashley Wadups, keep it swag, Logan Ags.
Oh, I like it.
And this is Riley McDirty Thompson, reminding you always to, hey, why not torrent something? It's pretty fun. Anyway, that is it for Aggie Newsroom.